myself in this service, to be part of the service, because this is where Andrew and Esther's church, we have known them for many years. I first met Andrew and Esther about 46 years ago when they were living in Mauritius, in a little island called Mauritius, where I was sent to prepare for our mission ship called the Logos coming to this island. And they very, very kindly, without any hesitation, invited me and my colleague Martin to come and stay in their home. Martin was on his way to Reunion, the next island. Martin could speak in French, so he was sent to Reunion, and I was in Mauritius. And over a month or so, Andrew and Esther very kindly kept me in their home. It was such a blessing. And it's amazing, all these years, 46 years, we have been able to keep in touch. And they have been one of our faithful prayer partners as well for a number of years. So it's such a close friend, and so such a blessing to be here. I want to introduce Reverend Jayakumar Thomas. He and his wife are from India, Rani, and they have two children. Janice is here, but their son is in Singapore studying theology. He's in his third year. Janice came here several years ago to study at Regent. And so Jayakumar and Rani, they come here quite frequently to Canada to meet with, to visit their daughter as well. Before God called Jayakumar into full-time ministry, he was involved in promoting pharmaceuticals, for working for a pharmaceutical company in India for a number of years. And then he met his wife, Rani. And ever since he met Rani, they have been in Operation Mobilization. They've been married 29 years, and Jake has been with OM for 29 years. Today, he's a missions for the state of Tamil Nadu, which is in the south of India. He's the missions coordinator in charge for Operation Mobilization. So they both Rani and Jake, they are well-traveled people all over the world. And it's been a blessing to know them, and he's going to come and share the word with us this morning. So come, Jayakumar.
It's an Indian way of honoring God's people. So this is a prayer shawl. I just shawl to our brother Andrew. Oh. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not quite sure how to respond. But if it's a prayer shawl, perhaps I should pray.
Yes.
So why don't we just pray? Father, I just want to thank you for this time. We just want to pray for Heather and Bert, and Heather especially. Father, you are a God who heals. And Father, we just pray for Heather and her cancer. Give the doctors wisdom, and give both Heather and Bert peace, knowing that you're in control of all things. And we pray for George and Janice as well, and their ministry. And for Mr. and Mrs. Thomas, Father, we just ask you to bless them and bless our time together. In Jesus' name. I know you were probably wondering when George said we'd known each other for 46 years, you know, how young were we? we must have been in kindergarten.
So before we start our sermon, I would like to sing a chorus. This is me and my wife with my daughter. So I greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior. So this is a wonderful privilege for me and my family to be with you all, such wonderful people, people from, it's a kind of all over the world. It's amazing to see that. So God is good in all the time. It's a very simple chorus. We used to teach wherever we go in the India, some of the slum areas and the poor children. And we used to sing and encourage the children in our places.
I've been with OM for 40 years. And I worked in North India for 11 years, where many children, they lived on the streets. In India, we have almost 700,000 children living on the street, but where I worked, 150,000 lived on the streets. And as Bharatan Janet knows, the place in Bihar, North India, there is a community of people, and 2 million. They do not have any food to eat. They catch the rat and eat, and they go in the desert. If they get something, they eat. They live with one dress. They never had another dress to change. No food, no clothing. There was a kind of tree, you know, which gives drugs. So they pluck the tree, leaves, and they eat so that they can forget their hunger. So I worked among them. They were longing for someone's love. So that is what this chorus just we wrote and sang for them. That is the powerful word that Jesus loves you. So because of this chorus, I can tell you, many children committed their lives to Christ. And 4 years back, 30 young girls, very dirty, just torn clothes, they stood up and said, "We want to receive Christ. We wanted to serve God. And we didn't know what to do, you know, because they have no houses, no clothes to change. They do not know how to read and write." We took 30 of them and trained them for 1 year. And God's people provided clothes for them. Today, the 30 young girls are in 30 different villages doing ministry as Bible women. So God loves you. This is just for the children's sake. You know, we wrote 1, 2, 3, then Jesus loves you. We sing. Maybe you can join us.
Not this one.
Not this one. Yeah.
It's very simple. We'll just sing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I want to tell you one thing, that Jesus loves you. I want to tell you one thing, that Jesus loves you.
Shall we try as a church? Can we do that?
Maybe, okay? Maybe Jesus loves you. You can shake hands and tell. Because that's what we make the children to tell.
We usually, with action, we will sing 1, 2 like this. Okay? We will do that with action. If you are okay, you can do the action with us. Otherwise, no problem. Mm-hmm. But in heaven, we all have to do action. Right? We have to practice here and perform there.
Okay.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I want to tell you one thing. That Jesus loves you. I want to tell you one thing. That Jesus loves you. And we did not take much time, but we wanted to sing another chorus. This is my life's testimony, I can say. Hallelujah, anyhow. Never let your troubles get you down. In the mission field, sometimes it is not so easy. You know, a lot of opposition, and they use very vulgar words to tell us, get out of the village. And even one village, they tried to stone on us. And some of them got hurt because they stoned. And even some, they, you know, beaten on the face, they lost their teeth. Even that time, we could tell, thank you, Jesus, for using us. And but I have a son, today he is 24 years old, and he is in Singapore doing theology. When he born, I had cesarean, and the cesarean went wrong. In India, the doctors mistakes, but they never accept, but later they accepted it. Because of that wrong surgery, I had to be in the hospital for 45 days. I couldn't speak because slowly my voice gone. I couldn't walk. I was in the bed, death bed, and many people thought I was going to die, so they tried to help me. My daughter was 4 years old that time, and she came and singing this chorus with the action. I was in so painful, you know, because they open wound, they kept for 13 days. It was septic. And I just told God, I couldn't bear anymore this pain. Romans 12:1 says, you know, give, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So I said, Lord, I give my body to you. The pain, I cannot take it. If you want me to live, give me life or take me. That is the prayer I did. When I saw this chorus she was singing, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to go through this suffering. I tell you today, the Lord touched me that day. And the voice came back after 40 days. I told my husband, now I will not die because God has given me the voice back. And again, the surgery took place. The doctor told me, please comfort your heart. You may never be able to walk. Or you may walk with bent back. That's what she said. It will take another year for you to walk. So please, take courage, she said. She did the surgery. But today I tell you, when God touch, God heals. After 23 days, I went for preaching. So this is what God touched me. That time this song really encouraged my heart. Whatever the problem, every one of us have problems. But whenever we go through problems, give thanks to God. That's what I learned. So we like to sing this chorus. Hallelujah, anyhow. Never let your trouble gets you down. When life's problem comes your way, lift your hands up high and say, Hallelujah, anyhow. So today I stand because many people said you may never be able to walk. Some thought I may never be able to speak. So today I speak and walk by God's grace. So we all can try this chorus. Do the action.
Hallelujah.
Anyhow. Never let your trouble get you down. When life's problem comes your way, lift your hands up high and say, Hallelujah, anyhow. This chorus also, we will do the action. Because she was 4 years old, she sang this chorus when I was in deathbed with action. So we would like to sing in action.
Hallelujah, anyhow. Never let your troubles get you down. When life problem comes your way, lift your hands up high and say, Hallelujah, anyhow.
Hallelujah. God is good all the time. We are just going to watch some of the clippings of our ministry. We come from South India, the place called Chennai, as Brother was introduced. You can see the right side, yeah.
Okay. the grief of my pain, oh my joy uncontained, or in the weary of days, or the hope that I gain, let my soul be the same. Hallelujah, King of days, this tabernacle body is yours. Whether in the grief of my
for watching. We are doing ministry among the children and also the women from the different faith. You are coming to our center. We are just teaching sewing as a free of cost, and then only we can give Jesus as a free. Then people are accepting Christ, and some are still wavering, but we are just praying and we are just very faithfully doing this program in three different places. And the women, my wife trained for 30 women for 3 to 4 years. And from this group, three women started their own churches in their villages. So that's the wonderful thing God has done in their lives through them. And last time, our brother Bert and his wife visited our sewing centers. And Brother George and Janet also been to our some of our centers. So thank you once again for Pastor Bert. And he really, you know, took some special initiative of my visit here to arrange such a nice meeting with you all in the church service. And thank you for Brother George and Janet Akka. And also Brother Andrew, his son Mark. And such a wonderful time of fellowship with you all, when we could partake the Holy Communion this morning. And the song, the second song we sang as a hymn, was really only in the funeral time we will sing in our churches, not on the regular service. But here, it was something to think about it. One day, we all have to be with the Lord. So as God revealed very clearly to our Pastor Bert about my sermon topic, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He prayed and he mentioned that Hebrew 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 in his prayers. I never tell him anything. I told our brother George about that. But he just, you know, very specifically mentioned about that, and he prayed, fix your eyes upon Jesus in Hebrew 12, 1 and 2. So that's the topic of my message. So I thank God, dear church, and those who are really, you know, watching online, I bless you in the name of Jesus. We need your prayers and your support. If God leads, if God speaks to you, you can support our ministry through the way of giving just $20 for one family to provide a meal and a Bible and a blanket. These three things we can provide within $20. So pray about it. If really Lord touched you, really Lord speak to you, you can just stretch your hands. Our brother Pastor Bert is here. He will just, you know, get it from you and he'll pass it to us. That's what God has a plan for us. So God says, no, we have to, in our day-to-day life, we have to fix our eyes. It means our mind, and our full concentration upon Him. That's what He expects from us. This world is passing by. We all are temporary here. So I remember the year 96, I joined my Bible college in Singapore. So the very first time I came out of my country, from India to Singapore. And I was the only person from India. Others, all Chinese. They're all such a good people. They are very friendly with me. And one of the students came to me and asked me a question. Brother, you know about the Singapore, 5 C's of Singapore? I said, I don't know. Then he just told me, you know that first C is cash. Second C is carrier. Third C is carrot. Fourth C is credit card. Fifth C is condominium house. So all 5 C's. How many C's you have, brother? I said, I have one big C. What is that? Christ. He's in me. That's enough for me. He will provide whenever, whatever I need. So he was so happy to receive my answer. So in this time, we just think about our lives. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. The first thing I would like to tell you that looking unto Jesus, He is our example. Looking unto Jesus, He is our example. Our Jesus given a lot of examples while He lived on this earth. We just learned all these things from 4 Gospels. He just showed us some examples, especially in Isaiah 45 verse 22 says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. So he's asking us to look unto him because he shows the example. We in our life, Christian life, we always look somebody. Even most of the time, some of our mission leaders, we just follow and how they are doing work, how they do the personal evangelism, how they're connecting with people. They're all we in the mission field, and we are just trying to learn from the leaders. Sometime we may fail, but Jesus never fails. He always shows us a role model, an example. A father has 2 sons. This father is an addiction to alcohol. Because of that, he died. And the 1 son is very much followed the father with his footstep, and he also drunkard. The another son, very different. He was living a wonderful life. A pastor went and asked him, what's the difference? Your brother just like your father, you are very different. This brother said, I took a decision. I wanted to live something differently. Everybody don't like my father. Everybody hate my dad. But I wanted to live a person to be a blessing. So I just follow what Jesus taught us. I follow my Jesus' example. That's why I took a new life. That's what he answered. So in our life, whom we are following, who is our example? Though we are Christians, we are reading Bible, we are coming to church, but still, some of the worldly things, are we compromised with the world in any of the areas? This morning, Jesus said, in John 13:15, he says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus just started washing the feet of the disciples. So that's the example. Simplicity, humbleness. A word, it will say like this. If you're humble, you will not stumble. I see a lot of people here with the humble-hearted people. They are very honest here. Even if I just leave some of my belongings by mistake, when I can collect. I remember before we come to Canada, we were in a week in UK. So in London, one of our friends took us to a famous church, and my wife's watch somehow just dropped on the place in the church. Then she came back to the place, and then she found, oh, my watch is missing. Then the friend said, don't worry, you will check with the church. She checked. They said, yeah, there is a few watches. You can just show the identity and you can collect it. So we are so amazed to listen. But India situation is very different. But we are just, you know, trying to change some of the lifestyle, some of their characters. And people are also changing because of the education system and the teaching of the Bible. You could see the churches, they are really helping people. And most of the places, people are still showing some example in their living. Through their living, they're showing some example. I always follow my dad, my earthly dad, who worked as a tax officer. And he set a very good example for all my family, three brothers, three sisters. Because, you know, there is a system in India, is still practicing in the government department, bribe. If you want to sign any files, or to clear anything in the official side for the public or for the business people, they will ask some bribe. Then they will do it very, very fast. Even you can sit at home and take driving license if you give bribe. That's, yeah. You're for you, it is something. But Brother Bert received his Indian license not by bribing, by talking to the person. A foreigner comes, they will respect a lot. They will not ask bribe. They never ask any bribe. They will just help them. But to us, local people, but my dad, all his life, he never ever collect or get any single money from anybody. Because all our lives, we stayed in the rental houses, not in our own house. My dad always say, I want to be a blessing to my family. I don't want to bring any curse to my children. So that's why if you live with hand to mouth, still okay. But we have to thankful to God, show Christ in our life. So that's the reason our family all is slowly picked up and blessed by my dad and my mom. So that's the example. So we have to. Maybe some of your parents, their character may be different. One young fellow came to me. My dad never show any example to me. How I should live, tell me. I said, you can start from you. Don't worry about your father. His life finished. You can be an example to your generation. Then he was happy. So that's the way Jesus set an example. And looking unto Jesus and also learning of Jesus. We are learning from Jesus. He's a teacher. He's our teacher. He's our example. At the same time, he's our teacher. In the Beatitudes, the preaching of God's all the blessed, you know, in the mountain, Beatitude. He taught very nicely, very wonderfully everything. Maybe some of you know about a freedom fighter lived in India. His name Gandhi. People used to say him Mahatma Gandhi. He wrote in his diary, Jesus, the preaching in the mount really touched my heart. He never wrote, he never say, it's changed my life. Just touched my heart. That's what. Because many of the teaching of Jesus, or many of the people, touched by his word, touched by his love. But we must be transformed by his word and by his teaching. The teacher always expects the children, the students, to obey and to follow. That's a good teacher. So I really wanted to tell you something about the example. Book of Jeremiah. That's a very good example. In chapter 35, God's show an example. That's a people group called a Rechabite. The Rechabite never drink wine. This particular community, God straight away telling to Jeremiah, go and bring the family. Just put in front of them all the wine, everything. Just see whether they touch or not. Because they are following their father's, the Ahanab, what he said, that they are just following. And that particular portion, I just wanted to show you. I'll just finish it very fast, sorry. Jeremiah 35, verse 1, it says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the reign of Joachim, son of Joashiah, king of Judah. Go to Rechabite family and invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. Then verse 6, it says, but they replied, we do not drink wine because our forefather Jehonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command. Neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Verse 8, it says, we have obeyed everything our forefather Jehonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we nor our wives nor our sons and daughters have ever drank wine, and so on. I still remember in our OM those days, our leader, George Verver's mindset, not to buy anything. Just stay in a place. It's like they always lived in a tent, this group, this tribe, Rechabite. In India, the mission field developing, they didn't buy any of the land of their own for so many years. Very later on stage, they really for the postal purpose, some of the other things, transportation, then they started buying a small piece of land by full of faith. I still remember that because operation mobilization, you have to mobile, move around. Don't stay in one place all the time. Share gospel. That's what. If I am not correct, please correct me, brother. And still in 1920, this same group, Rechabite group, still they are living. They're now in Jerusalem and different parts of the world. In 1920, they planned and they decided to buy some small piece of houses for their own. Otherwise, they are not buying anything property. They're such a wonderful people. If you just Google it, and you can find about the Rechabites. And some survey says these people come from the Ishmael tribe. Some of them are Muslims, but still God has given them some example. Okay, now I've just moved to, this one also, because he's our teacher, I will instruct you. Psalm 32:8 says, "You and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." So he's our teacher, he's counseling us, and he is also teaching us, instructing us the way we should go. Whenever we just ask him, he will just tell us how to go on. So learning of Jesus and looking unto Jesus. And the third one is leaning on Jesus. We have to lean on him. Because sometimes we feel very lonely. Sometimes we feel very tired, very weak. But whenever we face that situation, or sometimes we have to depend upon him. That's what, psalmist says, I lean on you, my Lord. I lean on you. Because before I come to full-time ministry, I work as a pharmaceutical company, as a salesperson, sorry. Then we used to sell a tablet, it's a medicine, for the anti-diarrhea. The name is Dependol. The name is Dependol. So when the diarrhea comes, you use one tablet, you'll be getting normal. You'll be all right. So how they name it, depend all. So are we depending upon Jesus? Are we depending upon the Lord in the day-to-day life? Or are we going, because in India, one lady always tell my wife, sister, I am desperate. I am desperate. Please pray for me. So that situation, if anybody is going through, Think about it. Come to Jesus. Lean on him. He is our strong refuge. That's why King David wrote in his song, "You are my, the Lord, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress," because his own son came and captured the whole family and everything. He was under threat. David, King David, he lost everything. He believed that his fortress will secure him, save him. But nothing. In India, the northern India, there's a place called Lucknow, Uttar Pradesh. A huge fort, two big fort, the Muslim people, Islam, they built. 300 entrances will be there in the big fort. But if you see from outside, nothing will be there. We can't see anything inside. But from there, they could see everything. Without the guide, the help, we can't even go inside and came out. We need somebody's help. Because that's the way they built it. But still that fort also captured by other people. So David's fort, then only he decided, he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." When we come to that situation, we will decide, "He is enough. You are enough, Lord." And the final thing we will just move to because of the time. Looking for Jesus. This is a very important thing. The first one is looking unto Jesus is our example. Learning of Jesus, our teacher. And leaning on Jesus is our strength. And this is the thing. We are now living in the end days of our life. We don't know when the second coming is. We have to be well prepared now to meet our God. Somebody will say, if you are having some sickness, the regular sickness or whatever the sickness, diabetes or heart problem or whatever the problem, if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, if you die today, you'll be with the Lord. But if you're not accepting Christ, if you die today, it's a big question mark. So we have to be very careful about our life on the earth. Everything is accountable. God is always there too, looking after us. Gospel according to Luke chapter 16 from 19 onwards. Talking about two beggars. You may be wondering, what is the two beggars? We know only one beggar, Lazarus. Where's the other beggar? Lazarus begging on the earth in front of the rich man. But the rich man died, Lazarus also died. The rich man went to the hell. From there he was begging, "Please give me some water. Please send somebody to share gospel to my brothers. They are living. So nothing will happen. Nobody can come from that side to this side, from heaven to hell. No connection. So wherever we are going, where we are heading, that is very important. So Lazarus lived a very difficult life. All his life he was just in front of this, you know, the rich man. But the rich man comfortably, very nicely lived rich life. But he died, both died. We know that. We read so many times. We heard a lot of sermons on this. So we just think about it. And we are living in this earth. This is not our permanent place. I still remember we were 3 years working with a church in Singapore. The same time I studied in my college. Some of the people come as a work permit visa from India or from Sri Lanka, they will come to us and they will ask me to, "Pastor, can you pray for my visa to get PR, permanent residency? I need permanent residency." Then I will ask with a question, "Yeah, okay, I'll just pray for you, but you have a permanent residency up there? Just think about it. Then that will be okay. That is very important, my dear brother. I will say that. So, on a church in US, their church members are increasing every month. So the pastor and the elders were just started taking some decision or some meeting. Car park is filled. We need some extra car park, but that is nothing. No way to get another car park. So why can't we just ask the nearby shopping mall? All the Sundays, they close down because they're a very good Christian, the owner. That's why he closed on Sundays. You can just use the car park of that shopping mall. Then they went and talked to the owner. The owner was so happy. He said, okay, I'll just give you the car park with one condition. Then he said, what is the one condition, brother? He said, 52 weeks in 1 year. 51 Sundays you can park. 52nd Sunday, you're not supposed to park. Why? You must know this is not your place. This is temporary. This is not permanent for you. So that's the way God has given us a life to live on this earth. This is not permanent. Our permanent citizenship is in heaven. We all are travelers. We all are moving around. But thank God, God has given us our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says to Philippians. With one true story, I'll just finish it. A little boy in a village, every weekends he just go and play in the river. Because he born there, he brought up there, he was very well swimming, everything he knew. So he just went there and he just play in the water. Suddenly a whirlpool, rotation of water came. He couldn't swim. Well, just about 12 years old boy. He just shouted all in a big noise, somebody please help me, save my life. And a gentleman was morning jogging. He was just passing by the river banks. He just went inside. He just took him and put him on the ground and said, be careful, little boy. Your life is very important. He went on his way. This boy also went on his way. After exactly 10 or 11 years after, the same little boy became a man because of his sin, because of his mistake. He caught by the police. They presented him in the court for judgment. So he was just looking up the judgment place, the judge place. He just had remembering something. Oh, this man I knew. He came to my village when I was 11 years old. He saved my life. Then he shouted from the place, sir, do you know me, sir? Do you remember me, sir? Please give me a chance, sir. Please allow me, sir. Help me, sir. Then the judge from that place said, yeah, I know you. I remember you. But that time, I was a normal person. I was just walking by. I could save your life. Now the place where I'm sitting, this place is judgmental place. Here, no help, no kindness, nothing. Only judgment. What mistake you did, you have to receive the punishment. And he signed and he left the place. The same way Jesus came to this earth. Show all kindness. Till now, we are living in grace. Grace and grace. Some people say hyper grace. Whatever sin we can do, there's a hyper grace that will forgive all our sins. Whatever it may be, one day he's going to come as a judge to judge the whole universe. We cannot escape. Each and everyone has to stand before him to tell us. Even the mic will witness, the house, the car, everything will witness about our life. We cannot hide anything from Jesus. So we just think about ourselves. Shall we just close our eyes and we will pray? Fix our eyes upon Jesus. We have to finish the race. with the same attitude. God is in control of things. Thank you, Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none that follow, still I will follow. Though none that follow, still I will follow. Know that follow, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back. Yes, Lord, please help us, Lord, to follow you all the days of our life, O Father. Each and every minute and moment, fix our eyes upon you, Lord, to learn from you and to look unto you, Lord. You are our example. To lean on you, Lord. We cannot compromise with the world. Oh, Father, we are something specially called by you, Lord. You paid the price for us, oh, Father. Lord, you shed your blood, Lord, and you just purchased us, oh, Father. We are your children. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to await for your second coming. Maranatha, come back soon. Help us, oh, Father. We wanted to be with you all the time, oh, Father. That's the wonderful place. That's our citizenship. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful country, the church and the people. Thank you for dear family. They are really, Lord, doing your ministry. Bless them abundantly, oh, Father. Thank you, Master. People who are in the different places, they are watching by online. Bless them too, Lord. I pray, Lord, give them your help and strength and your healing, oh, Father. Thank you. Be with us. Use them mightily. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.